Good morning. All right. All right, if you would turn with me in your Bibles to Acts chapter 1, now that I'm all situated here. Acts chapter 1, and I'd like to start at the beginning of the chapter and read the first 9 verses. It says, "The former treaties I have made, have I made, O Theophilus, of all that Jesus began to both do and teach, until the day which he was taken up, after that he through the Holy Ghost had given commandments unto the apostles whom he had chosen, to whom he showed himself alive after his passion by many infallible proofs, being seen of them 40 days, and speaking of the things pertaining to the kingdom of God. And being assembled together with them, commanded them that they should not depart out of Jerusalem, wait for the promise of the Father, which, saith he, ye have heard of me. For John truly baptized with water, but ye shall be baptized with the Holy Ghost not many days hence. When they therefore were come together, they asked of him, saying, Lord, wilt thou at this time restore again the kingdom of Israel? And he said unto them, It is not for you to know the times and the seasons, which the Father hath put into his own power. But ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost is come upon you. And ye shall be witnesses unto me both in Jerusalem, and all Judea, and Samaria, and the uttermost parts of the earth. And when he had spoken these things, while they beheld, he was taken up. A cloud received him out of their sight." And we stop there. And maybe we, before we go on, if we could go ahead and look to the Lord again, as I need it. Dear Lord, we thank you once again for this time. We thank you for the time to open up your word. And Lord, I pray that truly that these would be words from your word and from your Holy Spirit. I pray that myself would be put aside, and may I just be a vessel for you. Lord, I ask that the convictions that you've laid on my heart and the things that I need to change, Lord, I pray that you would help me to do so. Lord, I pray that your lessons here that we have in the scriptures before us, that you would truly open up our hearts, we would receive them, and may we be more Christ-like. We ask this in the name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Now, I mentioned earlier in they asked, you know, what are you going to speak on? That kind of deal. And I don't really have a title for this message. But basically, what I'm going to tell you is, I mean, this whole message is something that God has laid on my heart. He's told me this is something that I need to change. And it's something that I didn't even realize that I was doing that was off. But it's something that I need to change. And he's brought it to my attention through his word, through others, and he wants me to share it with you as well. And like I said, I believe that this message is specific to the people in this room, to Bristol Bible Chapel, to our family here in the assembly, and that really anybody can pick up the lessons that God wants us to do from this. But where it all started was these 9 verses. I actually was teaching in Sunday school. It's part of the curriculum, and this during the summer months we have a collective group. So last week I taught Sunday school, and these are the verses. And we were talking about being a witness and what a witness is. And as I was going through it, these verses were on my mind about how God wants us to be a witness. Thinking of this is how the church started, and that's what we're talking about in Sunday school that John and Shelley have today. But how the church started. And the one thing that God wanted to get across to them is that this is what I want you to do. I want you to, after I give you the Holy Ghost, the Holy Spirit, and the Holy Spirit comes upon you, I want you to be witnesses for me. And you'll start in Jerusalem, where I told you to stay, and it'll be all Judea, Samaria, and then the uttermost parts of the earth. He wants us to be witnesses. This is one of the reasons he set up the church. He is not here physically, so we now are his body. We go ahead and represent who Jesus is to the rest of the world. So that's been on my mind. And as I went throughout this week, One of my friends, you know, they got the whole Facebook setup thing now, and they, I'm on Facebook, and my wife got me introduced to that. And so you get to talk to people that you don't normally see. Well, there's one individual that I used to work with at Friendly's, and she used to be a waitress there. She's no longer there. She works for CPTV. Now, as you know, CPTV, it's a nonprofit organization for Connecticut, the TV station. And all through this young lady's life, she has always done things wanting to help people. Now, to my knowledge, she is not a Christian. And she Facebooked all her friends and all this other stuff, and she said, listen, I'm writing a blog. Please comment on it. You know, tell me what you think. In her blog or whatever, she writes that she titles it 52 Jobs in 52 Weeks. And she begins by saying that she's a happy individual. She has a wonderful husband. She's had a wonderful job. She's had a wonderful life. She's 30 years old, but she feels that there's something missing. She says, "I've always wanted to make a difference in the world, and that's why she at one time she joined the Peace Corps, went over to Africa because she wanted to." She said, "In her own little world, she wanted to know that she could sleep at night, knowing that she made a difference, helping people, helping mankind." But she said, even after I've done that, there's something missing. I don't know what it is. I want to be fulfilled, but I don't know. Is there a job out there that I could help people, that I could be fulfilled and to go to sleep at night knowing that I've done something to make a difference? And here I am, I'm reading this thing, and she wants me to comment on it, and I'm thinking, I can see loud and clear what she needs. She needs God. She needs to have that fulfillment in her life. I mean, God puts the purpose into helping people. He's what life is all about. And I'm thinking, well, that's what I have to write. I have to write something about that. So I prayed about what to write. And I began thinking as I was praying about what to write, well, what if she becomes a Christian? I mean, that would be awesome. I'm going to put I knew I had to put the gospel message somewhere on there. What if she becomes a Christian? And then what will happen? Well, then she'll want to know the Lord. She'll want to be taught. Well, where am I going to direct her? I mean, someone. If you know that she's a bubbly little girl and she's got so much energy, she always wants to do things. She wants to help other people. Well, should I bring her through the doors of Bristol Bible Chapel? Should I, me and my family, like help her along? And I began to think that, am I truly a witness, as it says in Acts chapter 1? Am I able to witness to this individual, knowing the needs that she has? Would she be able to walk through these doors now knowing the purpose of life, having the drive that she has? Would she be able to come in here and grow? Or would she fizzle out? And would she die and grow stagnant? And I had to ask myself that question very seriously. And I don't know what would happen. But I didn't feel good. As I was doing this evaluation on my own life, I didn't necessarily felt that I met up to verse 8 where it says being a witness. And so I had to put, okay, well, what am I missing? How can I be a better witness? I ended up responding to this blog, and I ended up writing about Mother Teresa or George Mueller. I mentioned those two individuals. Now, I don't know everything about those two individuals, but one thing I do know, and you've probably heard of those names before, but they were individuals that loved the Lord, they loved the teachings of the Lord, and they helped people. They poured themselves out, and they loved people, and you knew that they loved people, and you knew that they loved the Lord by what they did. And those two individuals, I believe that they did go to sleep at night, and they knew that they were doing exactly what verse 8 says, and they were actual witnesses. Because they weren't only saying it with their mouth, but they were actually saying it with all of their being. When we think of witness now, when we look at the word witness, I mean, maybe we have a different feel of what it means. Because when we talk about witnesses, I mean, we're always talking about the courts, aren't we? We talk about a witness in a court. Well, it's a witness to a bad thing. It's a witness to a crime. And how does a witness act when they're in a crime situation? Well, they're under oath. They go up on a stand, and then they're drilled. They're drilled with questions. And when they're finally drilled with questions and put on the spot, then they go ahead and say what they know. And I have to ask myself, am I that way sometimes when it comes to being a witness for the Lord? Is it that I wait for that individual to come to me, and then once I'm drilled and say, do you know God? Oh, yeah, yeah, I go to church. Oh yeah, I know about Jesus Christ. And then I'll go ahead and say it. Or am I a witness where I proclaim his word? Am I a witness where I preach his word in season and out of season? Preaching his word in season and out of season, somebody asked me what that meant. Well, in season was when somebody asked me about God's word, well, then give them the gospel. But there will be times that you're also to give the gospel and give God's word, even when it's not necessarily welcome. I mean, Paul did this all throughout his life. And do I do those things? So am I a witness like God wants me to be a witness? Is this body of Christ, because we're the local expression here in Bristol of the universal church, one of the things that he left before he rose up to heaven, he says, I want you to be witnesses. Are we? Am I? Now, if you would turn with me to Matthew 28. Now, a lot of these things that we're looking at, you've heard the scriptures before, and like right now it doesn't sound too good. I mean, if you're like me, I mean, I had a pit in my stomach for the last couple days thinking about basically where I was, evaluating myself, and I'm like, yeah, I'm not there. It's not good. I don't know if maybe you're in that same position yourself. I mean, let the Holy Spirit do his work. But listen. Listen to what the Holy Spirit says. Be honest with yourself, because we want to fix it. Because if we're not there, there's a way to be there. And that's what I'm going to challenge you with this morning. It's a challenge that God laid on my heart, and I want to share that with you. Matthew 28, you know the verses. It's verse 18 through 20. It's the Great Commission, what we label it as. And verse 18, and Jesus came and spake unto them, saying, all power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you, and lo, I am with you always, even unto the end of the world. Now those verses, a lot of those three verses, I know a lot of us even have them to memory. We know them for sure. But there's only one word I want to look in those verses. The one word is just two letters. It's the first word of verse 19, go. That one word says so much, go. Because that one word tells me that this commission that he's given to us is not something that is to happen to us. It's something that we're to make happen. It means that we need to find, we need to make, we need to create opportunity to go ahead and preach, to be a witness. So how do we do that? Where do we go? How does that happen? How do we make an opportunity? I want to be a witness. Okay, Lord, so I see what you're saying. Maybe I'm not up to par with the witness. I want to be a witness. I want to go. But I mean, what do we have? Do we have to be part of an organization? Do we have to have some kind of evangelistic task force or witness task force? I would say not necessarily. Jesus, when he walked on this earth, I mean, we've spent a lot of time, 4 weeks in the book of John. And as we looked at the book of John, the brother that was up here, he tried to show us, what did Jesus show us through his actions, through his miracles? What does those miracles that Jesus did, and there was 8 miracles that were mentioned, what did they tell you about Jesus and his message? And each one of those, and that's what we were trying to pull out of it, in each one of those miracles, it said something about Jesus and his love for us. It was in a prayer this morning. Now, I know that as we go through here, you're probably picking up that we're going to talk about love, and we're going to talk about love in action. I mean, it was talked about all this morning in worship service. Go. We need to make the opportunity. How do we make that opportunity? Does it necessarily be organizations? Or can it start right with me? Yes, it can start right with you. Look at, turn with me to James chapter 2. James chapter 2, and I'm going to look at three verses, and starting in verse 14. Now, this is talking about faith with works. It says, "What doth it profit, my brethren, though a man say that he hath faith and have not works? Can faith save him? If a brother or sister be naked and destitute of daily food, and one of you say to them, Depart in peace and be warmed and filled, notwithstanding you give them not those things which are needful to the body, what does it profit?" Here you have a prime example of someone goes in and says, you know, like, that you know that this individual has need of physical things. They don't have daily food. And you say, well, I hope you're well and be warmed. You know what? I'll pray for you. But you don't give them anything that they need, even though you have it yourself. What does that mean? Are your words true? And the answer is no. I mean, we know that. I mean, it's just common sense. We know that. It doesn't match up. So if we're to be a witness, we're to make opportunity. I mean, we have the gospel message. We have the good news. We know we have a way of life, but God tells us to show love to one another. I mean, how can we better be a witness? What do our actions say? Do our actions say that we love others? Do our actions say that we're comfortable where we are? Turn with me to one more scripture here in John 13. John chapter 13, in verse 34. Jesus' words to his disciples, "A new commandment I give unto you, that you love one another as I have loved you, that you also love one another. By this all men shall know that you are my disciples, if you have love one to another." That's how we can be a witness, right there. This is how men will know that you are my disciples, if you show love one to another. That means that we need to show love to each other. Here in this family, here in Bristol Bible Chapel, we need to be able to show love one to another. Now at this point, this took exactly the amount of time I thought it would. Between 15 and 20 minutes for the first page. First page is done. And now we get into the challenge, loving one another. Now, the first part of that, I mean, to me, that's the part that had a pit in my stomach, because that's the evaluation. That's where I think that I am at. I don't know what you think about yourself or what you think about Bristol Bible Chapel, but if you're honest, I think you're going to see I think the Lord's already been telling a lot of us it, because I've heard it. I've heard it in the worship this morning. That's the part that gets me sick to my stomach. You know what? We got to change it. Now we make a commitment. From this point on, we're going to make a new. We're going to be different. We're going to do the things that God wants us to do. Make a commitment in your heart right now. Do you want it? I know you do. You want it just as I do, because we love the Lord. And we don't want to be caught in that position where we're not the witness, or we can't have somebody come through the door and they would fizzle out versus grow. We want them to be able to grow. We want to be that place where people can grow here. I know we all want that, so we have to change it. Where does it start? It starts here. It starts with each individual. It starts with each heart. John 13:35, how will they know that you're my disciples? By the love you show one another. One another means each individual in this room, even those that are not here that will be listening to the tape. It's each one of us. Our heart has to make the decision. Make the decision now. Do you want it or do you not? When I first was studying this as well, and the Lord was bringing it up to me in different areas, I'll give you this illustration. It got me upset, and I was upset, because it's like when somebody tells you you're doing something wrong, you don't feel like listening to them. That ever happened to you? I'll give you an illustration. My wife and I had this conversation. Thankfully, it was a while ago, and it's not anymore. But You know, we'd been married for a couple of years, and she had told me that, basically, that I don't show her love. And I was like, what do you mean I don't show you love? Of course I love you. And I'm getting upset with her. Of course I love you. I go to work every day. I mean, I help you out in the house. I mean, I'm just like, come on. What do you mean I don't love you? And I got really upset by it. And we had this communication battle. And what it finally came down to was that we were not speaking the same love language. And what I mean by that, well, I felt like I grew up in a house with all guys. I mean, it's just like, you know, we don't do the whole hug things with the guys. We're like, you know, how you doing, you know? And that's the way we are. I'm not all lovey-dovey and, you know, but this is what she grew up with. She grew up with, you know, like hugs and kisses and holding hands and I love yous all the time. I mean, I grew up with that with my mom, you know, I love yous all the time too. And if you even notice, my family's changed. I mean, I even kiss my father every time I see him. I mean, we've changed a lot since then. But, I mean, that's what I grew up with. And she's telling me, she's like, I'm not speaking her love language. But it's not that I don't love her. So as we're going through this, I want you to think of, you know, I don't want you to be upset with me. Now, don't be upset thinking that. I'm not saying that we don't love each other. But we have to show it a little bit differently if we in fact do. Because there has been some reports, I know you've heard them, and they've gotten to me as well, that they don't see the love. And maybe it's because we're storging it. And if you've been in the couple study, you know what storage is. Storage is that kind of love that you see the two old people, they don't need to say anything to each other, and they're sitting together, and they know they love each other, but they're just there. I mean, we've been a family here for I don't know how many years. We've been in this room for I don't know how many years. But we've gotten comfortable with one another. And we all know each other. I mean, we don't have to go up to each other and say, hi, how you doing? You know, love you, miss you. I mean, I see Danny every day. I'm not going to say that every day at work. But, I mean, but we've probably come to a point where we've gotten comfortable. We've gotten comfortable with one another. We don't show each other that we love each other. But if we were to ask individuals, if we were to ask everybody, do you feel loved? Do you feel loved by this individual? Do you feel loved by this individual? We'll probably find out that we all are not speaking the same love language. That there are some people that do feel loved by others, and then some people that don't. But there's a good chance that you are feeling, that you are, in fact, loved. But what are we to do with that? We are to take that information and we are to start speaking their love language. Jesus spoke all the love language. He did it right across the board, whether it be he provides for us, whether he touches us, let the little children come to me, or he spends time with us, he talks to us. I mean, he's got it all down. But there are some things that come naturally to us, but there are also some things, some love languages that don't come naturally to us, which we must learn, which we must change. Take, for instance, like as I mentioned, an individual coming through the doors, and, you know, maybe we've just gotten so comfortable, and we don't even know we're doing anything wrong, because, if we were to ask any one of you, do you love your brother or sister? Of course I love them. But when a stranger comes in, or somebody comes in, I mean, maybe it's just because we haven't had, you know, we don't have too many visitors. We'll get them, you know, once every 5 years or something like that, that we don't know what to do when they come in. And when they actually come in, I mean, the first thing we're thinking is somebody brought this to my attention. They're just like, all right, who are they with? Where do you think they're going to sit? Oh, there's probably some seats over there. Do they have books? I don't know. I think somebody's going to get them some books. I mean, sometimes we do that. I know that it goes through my mind. And I know we have to change that. I mean, when you go into place to feel welcome, I mean, what do you do? I mean, what do you expect? I mean, you are going to feel welcome if people are greeting you out the door. I mean, it doesn't matter. I think God will understand that. I hope he would. You greet them. Hi, come sit next to me. Here you go. Here's some seats. You know, whatever. You know, like, you feel welcome when people drop whatever and welcome them. You're not going to do that in your home. Somebody comes into your own house. You know, you just let them walk through the door and, you know, they'll find a seat. You don't do that. And maybe it's just because we've been doing things the way we have for so long that we don't know anything. Because we haven't necessarily been exposed to those other churches or that southern hospitality, you know, because we live in New England and everybody's cold and it grows on us. I mean, that grows on us, but it's not the way he wants us to be. We need to find out how he wants us to be and then change it. So So how do we change it? Like I said, it comes down to each heart in this room. We need to change it. There's a book that I read. I read most of it, but it's called The Greatest Salesman in the World, read by Og Mandino. And in the book, I mean, it's a good book. I haven't read all of it or anything like that, so I'm not going to go ahead and say, you know, it's doctrine or anything like that. But basically, it's a book where this guy has 10 scrolls, and he's giving them to the greatest. He says, if you read these 10 scrolls and you read them 3 times a day, and you read one scroll for 30 days, and you master these scrolls, you will be the greatest salesman in the world. And it's a pretty good book. It's put in story form, but it's got some practical lessons in it. One of the scrolls that is given to a salesman, somebody that is selling something, one of the scrolls is about love. And he basically says that if you are going to sell something, they can get past your product, they can get past all your arguments for having that product, but what they won't be able to get past is your love. If you show them love and that you are completely and entirely interested in them and what they need and who they are, they can't get past that. And we all know love is powerful. I mean, we heard the other day in the Corinthians study, or Thessalonians study, that love is a weapon. And I'm thinking, love is not a weapon, but love is a weapon. Love is a weapon that can open the doors of hearts of men and women that you wouldn't be able to do so just by talking to them. When they see, even with children, when they see that you love them and that you truly love them, their hearts are open up to you. And so, as I say about making the commitment, these scrolls basically... He opens up the scroll, and the scroll says, this is what commitment I want you to make. And basically, one of the scrolls says, I will greet this day with love in my heart. I'm just going to read you a small excerpt. That this is this gentleman's commitment because he wants to sell something. He says, I will greet this day with love in my heart. And how will I confront each whom I meet? In only one way. In silence and to myself, I will address him and say, I love you. Though spoken in silence, these words will shine in my eyes, unwrinkle my brow, bring a smile to my lips, an echo in my voice, and his heart will be opened. And who is there who will say no to my goods when his heart feels my love? I was thinking, how powerful would that be if each one of us could make a commitment to anybody that we see to say in our heart, I love you. And then treat that individual as God would love them. Put yourself aside. Doesn't matter if this is the individual that you argued about. In here, we're going to start in here. But then when you bring it out to the world, doesn't matter if it's the individual that you argued on the phone with about a missed appointment. Or if it's somebody that you owe money to. Or a disagreement with your neighbor over the property line and where they planted their flowers. But you meet them and greet them before you have that conversation. When you look them in the eye, I love you. God loves you. I want to show you that love. Know that individual, that you love them. That love them the way, be a channel of God's love for them. And if you can grasp that, then all these other things are going to open up. Because when we talk about witnessing, making an opportunity, if you love that individual, you will find a way. You will make an opportunity to show them love. And as you're making an opportunity, it's not just you're going to make an opportunity with your words and with your voice. You are going to make an opportunity to show them your love, to do it with your actions. If you would turn me to Philippians chapter 2. Philippians chapter 2, and we're going to start in verse 1. Once again, familiar verses. If there be therefore any consolation in Christ, if any comfort of love, if any fellowship of the Spirit, if any bowels and mercies, fulfill ye my joy, that ye might be like-minded, having the same love, being of one accord and of one mind. Let nothing be done through strife or vainglory, but in lowliness of mind let each esteem each other better than themselves. Look not every man on his own things, but every man also on the things of others. Let this mind be in you which was also in Christ Jesus, that verse 4. Look not every one on his own things, but every man also on the things of others. Now, we all have to take care of our own things. Now, going back to, we're talking about John 13:35, where he says about loving one another. And he says, this is how people are going to know you're my disciples, if you love one another. These portion of scriptures talking to the church, he says, this is the mind of Christ. This is what should be in you. Think not on your own things, but also think on the things of others. In definition, in short, what is this telling us to do? Put yourself in that individual's position. If you were to make that commitment, that heart commitment to say, when you're meeting an individual, I love you. If you were going to make that commitment, put yourself in their position. What are their needs? What are they going through? I mean, are they dealing with a family that's sick? Are they dealing with a family that's broken? And maybe they look great on the outside, they're all dressed up nice, and they come with a smile on their face. But is there something that you can do to reach out to that individual? Or maybe even just let them know that you're praying for them. Because you might love them, but do they know it? What's their love language? Do they understand? I mean, my wife, I would hope that she knew that I loved her. But she wasn't receiving it. There was something empty. And then with that, even though I've been with her for years, I need to continue to do that. It's not just, that the week after, okay, I was hugging her a little bit more and saying I love you. No, it's a relationship. It's a family. I need to continue to do so. And there's different things that she goes through her life that she might need it more, or I might need it more. But how am I going to know if I don't know that individual? How am I going to know if I don't put myself in their position, find out about them? Think not everyone on their own things, but on the things of others. We might all think that here in this room that we're all self-sufficient and that we should be self-sufficient and that we're going to go through life on our own, but it's been preached here before. No, that's not the way God wants it. He wants us to be involved with each other. Now, we're doing a lot better in that, but we need to go further. And we need to show love to one another in a different way, in more of a different way. If you could turn with me to Acts chapter 2. Acts chapter 2, now this is going to be an example of the early church. Now as they were witnesses, this is the beginning of the church. Look at what they did, how they were witnesses, and look at what happened in here. Acts chapter 2, verse 42, and they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship and in breaking of bread and prayers. And fear came upon every soul, and many wonders and signs were done by the apostles. And they all that believed were together, and they had all things in common. They sold their possessions and goods and parted them unto all men, as every man had need. And they, continuing daily with one accord in the temple, breaking bread from house to house, did eat their meat with gladness and singleness of heart, praising God and having favor with all people. And the Lord added to the church daily such as should be saved. That, we need to have those verses describe Bristol Bible Chapel. We need to get those verses where people can read that and say, yeah, I know a church like that. That's what he wants us to be. That's what I'm sure that even in your heart that you want us to be that way. Look at the things that they did. They made opportunity to help one another. It says, verse 45, they sold their possessions and goods and parted them to all men as every man had need. Imagine that. They knew that there were needs out there, but they made a decision at home and said, you know what? It wasn't things that they had extra of. It was they sold their possessions. They said, you know what? I can get along without this, but I know there's somebody else that's definitely going to need this. They got rid of it, and they gave it as somebody else had need. They made a sacrifice for another individual in that area. And how did they know that they had need? Well, look at the next verse, and they continued daily with one accord. if they were continuing daily, they saw each other every day. And we have different lives now, but you know what? The point is they were involved in one another's life. They didn't live separate lives to the point where, you know, I'm going to try to get through this on my own, I'm not going to tell anybody about it or whatever. You know, they were a family. And the reason I keep using family is because family is the strongest word that we have, that where there's a collective relationship. But, I mean, you got to go even past family. And this is not, Bristol Bible Chapel is not a club. It's not an organization. It's God's church. He put us together and he says, you're together, he bound us together with love. Love one another. Love one another in the way that you show one another love. Love one another that it's in your actions and you make the opportunity to show love. If you know someone's going through a hard time, you know, reach out to them. I mean, it happened to our family where somebody just noticed that someone in our family, my wife was going through a hard time. They noticed it, just her face was a little bit different. They stopped by and just left a card or whatever. That meant so much. It meant so much to me as well. I mean, that was making an opportunity. You made it happen. You touched somebody's life. You also notice that they broke bread from house to house and ate their meat with gladness. Now, this I found was interesting. They didn't have a church building back then. They had a place to meet. They had the temple. But they broke bread from house to house. Now, we don't have a church building either. But what I thought was so cool is they knew where they should pour their time and energy into, and that was each other. And by doing that, others saw the love that they had for each other, and they wanted it. And when they came in, they received it as well. And it was a place that was like a magnet. It just drew people. And it says that people joined the church daily. I'd love to see that here. I know in my own heart, I have to make that commitment. I've made that commitment. I got to change. I have to change it. I have to look at you, each one of you differently. I have to find out where you're at, pray for you, and then somehow reach out to you, make the opportunity that you know that I love you. I want you to know that, and I need to show you that. And please make that commitment with me. Do the same. We can turn this place around. It could be. We can have that report. Witness. We'd be a great witness. You know, we don't have a church building, and maybe that's a good thing. Because instead of pouring all our energy into, you know, the vacuuming and all this other stuff, we can pour our energy where it needs to be, and that's in each other. And maybe as that flows, maybe other things will happen. I know this is short, but that's it. I knew it was going to be short. Let us change so that when people come through the doors, that they don't see a building, but they see the unconditional love that we have for one another, because it doesn't come from us, it comes from God. Let us be those channels. Let them see that. Make that commitment in your heart that when you greet someone, you will say in your heart that I love you. Show them. So then, may you join me in that challenge. May we look to the Lord in prayer. Our dear gracious God and Heavenly Father, Lord, we thank you for who you are, and Lord, we thank you that you loved us unconditionally. And Lord, may we pattern our lives after you, and may we love as you loved. May we just be open channels for your love, one to another, and may we truly show people that you are that you are our Lord and that we are your disciples. Lord, we pray that you would help us to do these things, that help us to please you, help us to put a smile on our face with not only our words, but with our actions. May we reach out as your hands reached out to those children and said, let them come to me. May we reach out to others. May we reach out to each other, to others outside of this assembly. May we show them your love. Lord, help us to do so. Give us the eyes to see. Give us the eyes to see the people that are in need, the people that need you. And may we do our best to be your hands and your feet and meet those needs. We ask this in the name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ.